is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hey, Will, thanks a lot for coming by to do the intro again. I really appreciate it. Shouldn't he be in school right now?
He probably should be. It's a weekday.
You know, I don't know what's wrong with his parents. Kevin Tinkin was on the show a few weeks ago. That's his son. And it's been just letting him come over at all hours just to do the podcast for, intro. What we ought to do is just record something and use the same one each week instead of making him come all the way over here by himself, too. I mean, his dad and mom are at work, so he had to come all the way out here by himself. This is the best neighborhood.
He catches the bus, huh?
I think he walked.
Has he always had those tattoos?
No, I actually, that was part of the deal for being willing to do the podcast for us, is I had to get him some tattoos.
Wow.
But he let me pick them out. It's kind of weird seeing a 4-year-old kid with a tramp stamp, isn't it?
It's not comfortable. The worst part about it was when he mugged me on my way up.
Yeah, well, you know, he's gangsta. Mm-hmm. He's gangsta. Yeah. Yes, I am JT Foreman, and welcome to episode 64 of Bitter Comics.
64?
That's right. I'm here with my good friend, Torio Van Grohl.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing, Torio?
I'm good.
And I don't know how many episodes of the podcast you've listened to.
All 64.
You know, made that statement assuming that you've listened to the podcast, and if you have not, please don't.
I didn't know this was
don't burst my bubble here. Don't wreck the illusion. I'm pretending that people actually like it. See, the count on the podcast, on the webpage, I assume that means that there's 15 people in the internet who have not listened to it, and everyone else has.
Well, that's accurate.
So just don't burst the...
Oh, we talk about it at work every day after it comes out.
Well, you know, actually, that's a weird thing, because I got told a bunch of people at work about it, and many of them have listened to a couple of episodes. They've all said to me, "Oh man, it was great! I was laughing out loud. It was hilarious."
Yeah, it's weird.
And they don't continue listening to it though.
Like, right.
Well, if you liked it so much, why did you stop? But anyway.
Yeah.
You know what? If you just want to make me feel better. Blowjob instead.
Blowjob.
Don't listen to the podcast. Just give me a blowjob.
Every time.
Look, man, I'm not going to listen to the podcast, but I'll suck you off.
Suck you off. That would be... sound much better. I wrote a blog, you know, because I was a creative writing major in college.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this blog, and people read it for, like, you know, how long do you read a blog for before you're sick? Two, 3 weeks. And maybe less. I like to think I at least got 2 weeks out of some people. But I had someone come up to me that I didn't know on campus and be like, "Thank you, you know, I get my news from you now." It's just like, you're an awful person. Like, because, I mean, you know me, it's just, you've seen my stand-up, it's just, I'm just, you know, it's just quips, it's jokes, I'm not even a Jon Stewart, but even if you're getting it from someone credible like this. Well, then I just stopped, I gave up on...
That what made you stop doing it? Is because someone you found out how much damage you were causing?
No, that's what made me think, oh, I can totally get laid from this. And then,
did he fuck you?
And then he didn't fuck me.
Oh,
he didn't call back. And then that's when I stopped writing the blog.
All right. Yeah. Oh well. You know, there are some bloggers who have lots of readers, and I would love to figure out how they do that, but that would require that I actually write a blog.
Well, this is, you know, this is bloggy.
Bloggy. It's you know, a podcast.
It's the lazy man's blog.
It's a blogcast.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because if you're... I don't think this is the lazy man's podcast, I'll be honest. This is the lazy man's radio show, because if you really want to do a radio show, you'll go through the effort of trying to become... on a radio station, but this is like, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself, and I don't care if people listen to it. That's what this is.
Right.
I mean, with a blog, though, I think a blog is actually easier, because you sit down there, you type the stuff out, and you upload it, and you're done. Whereas with this, you know, you have to get...
But this is just an hour, and you're done.
No, you know what I mean? Well, no, not us, because I have to do the editing of the podcast, because I say way too much, so I try to edit those out to make myself sound a little more intelligent than I actually am.
Are you going
to
make me sound less intelligent?
Oh, absolutely. See, I take the us and ums off of mine, and I put them right after your word, around yours, so I make myself not less intelligent.
You make yourself articulate. More intelligent and articulate by making me seem
less so. Stupid. Exactly. And I appreciate you being here.
I completely approve.
Awesome. Well, you know, so this is episode 64. That's right. We begin once again with my opening segment. JT was a real prick last week.
Oh yeah.
In which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. This being episode 64, for my insensitivity in episode 63, I would like to apologize to black people, towels, bowling balls, all of the boot except the strap.
Yeah, fuck the strap.
Bones, complaint letters, and healthy kids.
You hate healthy kids?
No, I didn't hate them. I said something insensitive, and so I'm apologizing.
Because I hate healthy kids.
Well, you know, I don't think a kid should be healthy. You should you don't want to go mentally. Crazy and just give them, you know. But if they're too healthy, you know, I think they'll grow up.
It makes me feel worse about myself.
Yeah, exactly. Really. Yeah. It makes them grow up unbalanced. Mm-hmm. Well, if anyone out there would like to know exactly why I'm apologizing to each of these things, please check out episode 63 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com.
Yep.
And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, go to that website, bittercomics.podbean.com, scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or your My Yahoo account. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, please send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, "I wish it had been your podcast that ended and not Mike Wirtz's." See, by that message, I'll know which episode they're responding to.
Sure, and then you know to throw it away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Things are good.
Thanks for coming over. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks for inviting me to come up to that show a few weeks ago.
That's right. That was an awesome show.
Up in Sonoma. Up in
Sonoma, California. Murphy's Irish Pub, if you ever get out to Sonoma. Highly recommended.
Is he going to be doing any more shows?
Yeah, we're going to do more shows. We're shooting probably not till January, the new year, because they're so booked, you know, ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And then hopefully do one every other month. I'll get out there maybe six times a year, do some shows.
Cool.
And I'm really looking forward to that. I really like that area.
Well, I remember you saying that when you were in college, you worked there.
Yeah, I went to college there.
And you worked there at that restaurant.
Yep.
So it's
a perfect spot.
Yeah, it's a cool opportunity for you to go back and see old friends and stuff. So you just keep doing it until everybody that you knew quits and leaves, and then
you got to keep those college booty calls.
That's true. Yeah, that's
you
true.
You got to stay up to date on this. It's exhausting. Yeah. Sometimes.
Well, you know, I had a good time there, and after the show, you know, we kind of hung out there at the bar, and then they closed, and then we went to this other bar that was nearby downtown Sonoma. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that place?
Town Square. Another good spot. Not as good as Murphy's.
And while we were there, I started talking to this girl. It's a blonde girl. She's really pretty. I'm afraid I don't remember her name.
Uh-huh.
But she...
I think her name was Blonde Girl.
No, I don't think I'm pretty sure she had a different name than that. But she told me that she worked in advertising in San Francisco. And I unintentionally insulted her. Basically calling her an idiot for having such a long commute. I didn't mean it that way.
Right.
But, of course, that's the way she took it. I was only talking about how I would not want to drive that far and from work every day.
Well, I mean, it's San Francisco is expensive. I've looked into moving back to the Bay. You can't live in the city.
Yeah, well, she, like I said, she works in advertising, and,
which can mean anything.
Well, she writes, you know,
she's like a copy.
She writes the copy, yeah.
Yeah,
she,
so she's not making money.
Well, I have no idea, but, she told me she really enjoyed the job. I was like, that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
And, she told me, I mentioned that I was there in town doing comedy, and she told me the two things that happened right after that. I was there, I told her I was there for the comedy show. One is that she looked at me, or she told me that she used to do stand-up comedy. And she had actually lived in L.A. for a few years.
I remember her now, yeah.
So do you know who that was?
I mean, I had her come up to me. I think I had a blonde girl come up to me after the show and said that she you know, does comedy or had done comedy.
Yeah.
Which you always, you get that a lot after a show because it's like, what can you do for me kind of thing. And I got on the next show. But she seemed cool. I talked to her real quick.
Yeah, she did. She did seem really nice, actually, because I'll call it my pickup line, but I didn't intend it as a pickup line. I intended it as to try to start the conversation. It was not I own a boat. That's how I start the porn pitch. That's not how I start the let's have a conversation.
How is that going, your porn? I've heard good things.
I still have to get the boat.
Right.
And find a body of water to put it in. But, see, I said again.
Your pickup line.
I'm way too much.
Where we're going.
I said to her.
I'm stalling because I'm worried you're gonna say it and it's gonna work.
On you.
This turns into a because you're right podcast. Here,
and this turns into a really different podcast.
Yeah.
That would be disgusting.
Sure.
You know that would be you and I doing something like that. Mm-hmm. People would gouge their eyes out.
No way.
And then it's only on a podcast. They didn't even see it, and they would still gouge their eyes out.
Fantastic looking man, and you're a solid Fresno 7.
You are a sexy bitch. I have to say, absolutely. It's the hoodie. It's definitely the hoodie.
It works.
So you can pull off the hoodie. A black person, you would have gotten shot twice by now. But as a white guy, you can pull off the hoodie.
Yeah.
I'll apologize to hoodies next week.
Pickup lines.
I walked up to her and I said, "You look as bored as I am."
Okay.
Did your friends drag you out here against your will too?
It's a good one.
And she said, no, I'm just hanging out with my friends.
That's good. I mean, anything to get someone talking, you know, any pickup line that's different, I think, works. I like to just...
As long as it starts a conversation and doesn't stop it, it was a good line.
Yeah, exactly. But, anything different than they've heard. I like to immediately get them into, like, not like a argument, but like some kind of debate. You know, I think this, what do you think? And then... If they agree, then I just immediately flip and be like, well, but I'll...
If you immediately turn them over and then
Because
obviously they're...
I mean, the hoodie does most of the work.
That's
I'll
true.
Be honest.
It does.
But, yeah, you just... The longer you can talk to them...
Well, the other thing that I got from her... You know, I told her that I did comedy. She told me she did, too. But the other thing was the look on her face when I said that. She kind of rolled her eyes as if another guy who thinks being a comedian is going to get him laid.
Right. Well, it does, though.
It doesn't. It doesn't get me laid. It's never. I have never gotten sex out of the fact that I'm a stand-up comic. Not once.
Well, then you need to be funnier.
You know, I don't think that's the case. People do laugh. People are laughing.
Well, you need to
when
you,
I'm doing comedy.
Then you need to.
I think it's a specific joke.
You have to stay in character when you're hitting on them, which sucks, and I don't like to do that either.
Yeah,
but you do have to kind of stay in, because when you talk to them after the show, and they find out they lose that whole romantic idea that
you're
a funny comedian.
You're not this cool guy who was up on stage
you're
telling the jokes. You're just kind of a dork with low self-esteem and really insecure and you know what? I'm just not gonna fuck you.
So you gotta just
because I don't think you know what you're doing.
On.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
And I think if you think of some of the comedians in Fresno, they do that.
Some of the comedians do seem to have quite a bit of success. Let's see, Danny Minch, of course, comes to mind.
Yeah,
but you know what? He has.
But he's always on. See, that's why.
Well, he has this thing about him. That regardless of whether or not he was a comedian, he would be able to get laid a lot. It's the fact that he's...
Short.
No. He's completely without standards.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, and he's confident, and he will go for it with everything. But he's completely without standards, so it's not he'll go for it with anything. So... When you throw the ball at the 1,000 times, you're gonna hit once.
I guess.
You know, so he's he's like trying to, you know, he's like trying to knock on the door with a machine gun. They're gonna hear you, and.
All right, I don't know. You make it sound so depressing that way.
Well, it is kind of really. No, I'm just kidding. I love Danny.
Yeah.
I've had him on the podcast a few times. He doesn't hate me quite as much as you would think. Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Torrio Grant Van Grohl. We're the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Torrio Van Grohl. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, now, the Sonoma, the two musicians who were up there, what were their names again?
Marty O'Reilly and Sean Carskadden.
Do they bill themselves as a
yeah, they do like a
band
they,
name
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, they do like Sean and Marty.
Sean and Marty? Okay, cool.
They have their new CD coming out is called The Broken Moon.
Broken Moon,
and
cool.
I don't think there's a release date yet. I know when we were up there, they had just gotten their first copy of like the finished product, but they were still going to, you know, listen to it and, you know how it is.
Yeah,
I imagine as a musician, even more than a comedian, you need to nitpick everything and make sure. I'm sure they'll send it back a couple times to tweak some stuff, but as far as I know, it's coming out soon. You can find them online, I think, at Bandcamp.
Yeah.
You type seanandmarty.bandcamp.com, I think.
I imagine with music CD, it's a lot more important that you don't have any background noise at all. In the recording.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a studio album, too.
Yeah.
It's not even...
So, with, you know, a comedy album, you actually want to have the audience. Because, you know, someone telling a bunch of jokes and there's no laughter just isn't as much fun. So, that's why, you know, no one records a comedy album in the studio. Everyone always records it at a comedy show or
in
a theater.
When I first started doing comedy, I was so terrified of getting on stage, right? You know, one of those...
Yeah,
I like recorded my jokes online on my computer in GarageBand, and then I put in fake laughter. Right? Like I was so afraid because I needed to hear it, and I was like, okay, well, I got these fake people to laugh. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea, but so I heard it with fake laughter, and then whatever reason, I was able to go. I don't know.
That's
but it's
awesome.
Possible. Is what I'm saying.
You know, that's true. Actually,
and people thought it was real.
That's a good
I showed
idea,
people,
actually.
I showed people, and they were like, "Wow, you know."
You know, just have some canned laughter.
Those people were really laughing,
and I was like,
"Well, they weren't real people, but they were laughing."
Well, you know, it's like that. Is what a dork I am now. That episode of Star Trek: Next Generation when they had Joe Piscopo on in the, and he was teaching Data to do stand-up comedy.
I don't remember that. Sounds awesome, though.
And yeah, it was like, so he finally gets the jokes and he gets up there. He's on stage, starts telling them, and of course the audience is laughing. And then Data starts to realize, wait a second, this is a holographic audience. Mm-hmm. They're gonna laugh at anything. He just stands there and kind of raises his arms, and everyone laughs. I was like, you know, Data was really depressed about it, but I would actually kind of like to have an audience like that. Yeah, I would be thrilled if I had an audience that I could just do anything, no matter what it was, and they would laugh at my jokes. Because, you know, I'm basically doing comedy because I have really low self-esteem, and that would make me feel a lot better about myself.
It would make you feel worse.
No.
Because you know they're fake.
I don't care.
Because I put in that.
I need confirmation.
Laughter.
I don't care where it's from. If I paid the audience to be there, as long as they laughed, I would be happy.
You just need a hug, man.
I do. I need a hug. I need a hug. Can I have a hug?
No.
You're not going to give me a hug?
You make me laugh.
Oh. I saw that. You laugh. You laugh.
I'm laughing at my own joke.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I do that quite a bit.
Yeah, apparently. All right, well, cool. Looking forward to that album.
Yeah,
coming
you should
out.
Definitely check them out. They're part of that whole new, exciting, like bluegrass folk, but rock.
Okay.
They got that old sound.
Cool. Oh, well, okay, so you live up near Bass Lake.
I live in Bass Lake,
Bass Lake. You know, like, actually in the lake?
I live in the lake.
Cool. Do you have a houseboat or something? Because that would be kind of awesome.
I don't, actually. I live on the lake.
Oh, okay. So
which isn't even really true. I live next to the lake.
Next to the lake. Yeah. On the shore. You have beachfront property?
Technically, it's across the street from the shore, so I really don't even live.
Oh, okay. But you can see the water.
I can see the water.
Okay, that's cool.
From, like...
Oh, that's...
I can see the water, ladies.
Yes, that's right. He has beach-adjacent property.
Yeah.
And you work at Ducey's. It's a restaurant.
I work at Ducey's.
And now you used to do a show up in Bass Lake.
I used to do a show. We're starting back up.
Cool.
Day after Thanksgiving, November 23rd, it's going to be a free show. It's still in Bass Lake, but it's a new room.
What's the name of the place?
It's still at the Pines Resort, but instead of being at Ducey's, it's going to be in the Lakeview Room, which is cool. It's got a view of the lake. It's bigger. We'll have drinks and appetizers. We'll have great comedians.
Who you got booked for the show?
It's still tentative right now. I think headlining is going to be Bo Dilap.
Oh, cool.
And then Josh Stout's coming up. I think I'm going to try to get Danny and Eddie Trevino to come up.
Cool.
Rafi, I just talked to today. I've never done a show. I've seen Rafi. Oh, okay, I don't think Rafi. I've done a show with him. Barcat, I think.
Yeah, is that the guy who was going to law school?
I don't know.
Kind of skinny, Indian guy. Dude?
He's not Indian. I don't think he's Indian.
Thinking of a different person.
I don't think he's Indian.
I'm thinking of someone else then.
Yeah, so he's going to come up. And then, it's a free show. So.
Oh, cool. Well, November 23rd, I'll make sure to.
It's a Friday night, day after Thanksgiving.
I'll make sure to put something about that in the show notes. So, what happened that caused the show to stop happening before, and why we just start doing it again?
You know, I don't know. We had six shows up at Ducey's right on the lake during summer. We had a lot of good crowds. We had like one. You know, we always covered the pavement at the door.
Yeah.
You know, which is if you put on comedy shows is the biggest thing. So I don't, and you know, we brought in crowds. I think the most we ever had was like 80 people. The least was like 30. So we were always okay.
Well, I mean, that's still good.
Yeah, you know, it's a small town up there.
Yeah.
We had a, you know, and I think the biggest thing was we gave a room to the comedians. And I think during summer, the owners just kind of were, they didn't want to keep, you know, that's money out of their pocket plus the money.
Yeah. They didn't want to give.
As far as I know, I don't think it was a good decision on their part because we were making them money.
Yeah.
And then we had a management change up there shortly after the shows got canceled. So, you know.
I remember once, a few times. When I was living up in Seattle, I went on the road a few times.
Yeah.
And, of course, the deal is that the guy who booked the shows, this dude named David Tribble, is he always got a room for each of the comedians that were out there. And I would say about half of the shows were actually in the lounge at a hotel somewhere. I played a number of Red Lion and Doubletree Inns.
Right.
And I remember one time I was playing at a Doubletree Inn, but I was staying at some crappy motel that was a couple miles away. And I found out later on that the place I was performing at, the Doubletree Inn, mm-hmm. they actually were the ones who got the show. So it wasn't like someone else rented their lounge to hold a comedy show. It was like that was the Doubletree Inn was holding the show. But then they still had me say at some crappy motel across town. I guess because they could rent the room to someone else. They'd rather.
Yeah. Well, the thing with this show is they weren't selling the rooms out, so it wasn't like it was much for them to give up a room.
Yeah, they're giving up a room that would have been empty instead. Yeah. So the only thing it's costing you is that the maid has to clean it up the next day.
I think during like maybe one show it would have been booked, but.
Well, you know, how much more money are you making on the fact that you have the show there? I mean, how many of those people who are now in the lounge, buying drinks or whatever, would not have been there?
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you know, at the same time, I'm very grateful that they gave me the room. And, I had a lot of fun there and got to meet a lot of cool people. And we had some good comedians come in, from Bay Area. We got, anytime you get out of... You know, the usual just same Fresno comedians, it's fun to bring in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to say better talent, but better talent.
Well, the pool is smaller, plus, people who, most of the people who really want to pursue it are going to move to somewhere like San Francisco or LA. Yeah. And, they got a much bigger population there, so they got more people trying and everything, so. My cousin lived up there for... Actually, we had two comics from here in town move to San Francisco recently. One of them, William Lushbaugh,
yeah, he
moved up there.
I went up and saw Will a couple weeks ago. We did some mics together.
Oh, yeah?
That was fun.
Cool.
I did a show. We did a Comedy Cellar, and we performed for one guy, I think. It was awesome. It was actually fun.
Yeah.
It's easier to get 100% of the room to laugh when there's only one guy.
Well, you know, I've found that the larger the crowd is, the easier it is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Actually, the easiest show I ever did was in the theater, and there were hundreds of people out there. Because, you know, laughter is infectious.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you just get a few people to laugh, then everyone will start laughing. And plus, everyone is sitting in rows and all facing you, instead of around tables where they got to kind of turn around uncomfortably. Yeah. Half of the people are at a table facing the other direction, and they have to turn uncomfortably just to be able to see you. So if you don't really keep their attention, they're not gonna keep watching. In fact, of all the comedy clubs that I've been to, the one that I thought was set up the best was Giggles in Seattle, because you know they had a row of tables in the front. But then after that, they had these, like...
An elevated.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. The next row, it was elevated a little bit. There were stools all the way around, and there was just this tall kind of counter in front of them.
I've been to a couple places
and there was,
like that,
you know, several rows of that going back. So, yeah, I thought that was the best...
Well, that's what they were trying to do at Ty Palms, as far as I know, when they were renovating it.
Yeah, and then this happened, and they just kind of closed down.
Yeah.
All right, so up in Bass Lake, the show's going to be November 23rd.
It's going to be early. It's going to be a 7 o'clock show. Oh. It's going to be a little earlier than most.
Okay, cool.
And then,
Is it so? Is it kind of like a sleepy town up there where people want to go?
No, it's over Thanksgiving. It'll be totally booked up there, so it's going to be popping. I expect it to be a crowded show.
Huh.
During the winter.
Well, you know,
I'm kind of
surprised that they're doing this show they're doing their first show at a busy time. Because you know, it seems like places decide they want to do a comedy show, and they all think, oh well, you know, I'll hold an open mic and that'll fill the room, and they don't want to.
But I think it's also up in Bass Lake, you know, it's that Yosemite vibe, right? Yeah. So there's not much to do once the sun goes down.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I mean, any small town is going to be like that, I guess. Yeah. There's not going to be even in Fresno, at night on weekends, there's somewhere to go, you know. But
up there, I mean, you know, there's so much to do during the day, but, you know, you can't hike at night.
That's true. Well, you can. It's just unadvisable.
You can't. It's
impossible. There'll be bears.
Yeah, mountain lions are a problem, too.
Yeah.
And then I'm out there sometimes
just trolling for mountain lions.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, the last thing you want to see when you're out hiking in the middle of the night is Torrio van Grol.
That's right.
In a death roll.
Pantsless.
Pantsless in a death roll with a cougar.
Yep.
Nobody wants to see Nobody wants to see that.
People actually would pay to see that.
Well,
and I'm going to change the show on November 23rd
and
to just me wrestling a cougar.
And, you know, some cougars would pay to be involved in that, I bet. Because, as I said, you are a sexy bitch.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right, well, cool. Look forward to...
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
And, you know, I know somebody who would love to be booked to do some shows.
You know someone that would love to be booked?
Yeah, I know someone. You know, and if you like, I could talk to them for you.
I don't know.
This guy. You know, because he's got a podcast.
Does he have a podcast?
Yeah, he does. You know, he lives in Fresno, you know.
He's a Fresno guy with a podcast.
Yeah, you don't like the Fresno
guy. Sounds made up.
Doesn't
sound like a real guy.
I'm pretty sure he's real. Pretty sure it's real. You know, I could be wrong. He might be fooling me. I might be fooling me. It's possible that I've been fooling me all these years. But, you know, and I bet I could talk him into it.
Sure.
If the numbers are right.
That's right. You made this extremely uncomfortable for me.
Good.
No, we'd love to have you up at the show. Yeah, it'll be great. Guys, JT Foreman will be performing November 23rd in Bass Lake, California.
Well... I'll have my agent call your manager.
Yeah, call.
We'll see if we can draw up a contract. You know, maybe we can come up with some kind of a deal.
Sure, we'll figure it out.
You know? On that note, we're going to take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman with Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Torio Van Grohl. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so now you're an alcoholic, and you've taken this to a whole new level by creating your own beer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you never have to worry about running out.
That's right.
Because you just brew up a new batch. Oh, I'm just kidding, you're not.
Yeah, no, I brew beer, 41 Oaks Brewing.
41 Oaks Brewing LLC.
LLC.
You've incorporated
legit, it here. Yeah. It's not awesome. Technically important. It's limited liability company.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You're limited liability
company. Pretty much, yeah.
So basically, if someone drinks your beer and gets sick, all they can take away from you is your recipe if they sue.
That's right.
Because they can take a recipe in your and business
41oaks.com. They can sell website, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're not even open yet. We're still in, brewery and planning up in Oakhurst,
brewery
California.
Brewery and planning. Now, what sort of, well, let's start at the beginning. Why? You just, the beers out there weren't good enough?
No, they're not. Well, craft, you know, for how terrible our economy is right now, craft beer industry continues to grow just crazy. So,
it's, okay.
For that, you know, just for the business reason alone, I've always wanted to, you know, do my own thing, own my own business. Yeah. You know, beer is something I like to drink, so why not?
Are you thinking of starting, like, a microbrew kind of restaurant thing, or do you just want to make the beer and sell it to other places?
No, I've been in the restaurant business for a while,
yeah,
and I don't really want, you know, maybe somewhere down the line, you know, if things go really well, we'll do that. For now, we're just going to open up like a tasting room, you know, somewhere we can have beer and wine, you know, our beer, some wine, hopefully some comedy, some live music there up in the mountains. But cool. For the most part, we're going to focus on, you know, distributing.
All right.
That's where the money is too, you know.
How long ago did you guys start doing this?
We started doing this about a year ago, you know, started working, you know, he had done it, my business partner, had done it longer, went to school for it.
He went to school for brewing?
He went to school for plant science.
Plant science, okay.
So he's a farmer, and then he took some brewing classes.
Oh, cool. What exactly is brewing?
Well, beer has, you know, four major ingredients. So it's got water, hops, yeast, and grain.
Right.
So that's what beer is. The brewing of it is, you want the process?
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Well, I mean, it...
You get the water hot, you put it in the grain, which is, you know, barley, or depending on what your recipe is. You kind of let it seep for a while, almost like you're making, it makes like a tea-looking thing. And then you put that into the, we have a big brew kettle.
That has to be kept under pressure? Is that right?
No, not when you're brewing it.
Oh, okay.
No. It's just like a big pot. Like, when you do, like, a home brew, you're just brewing on your kitchen stove in a big 5-gallon pot.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Other than beer, what do you brew to make it? I mean, root beer, I guess, but, like, what other things would you brew to make?
What do you mean?
Well, I know the fermenting process to make wine is also used for pickling things, I think.
Okay.
So, I mean, are there other things that you would brew to make other than just beer?
I mean, like, are you talking about, like, if you want to make, like, a cider or mead or...
Well, are there non-alcoholic things that you use that same process to make? Or is it just beer and other kind of, that, you know, alcohols?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to make... I don't completely understand what you're saying.
Well, brewing is just a different kind of cooking.
Yeah, sure.
And so I was just wondering, what else can you cook that way? Because, like, there's thousands of things you can fry. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of things you can bake. There's thousands of things you boil to make.
Well, you're essentially, you're just brewing up, you're just boiling hops and grain water.
Okay.
Right? And then you take that wort, you know, what's left.
Yeah.
And then you add yeast to it and ferment it. So I guess if you're just talking about... You're just, I mean, it's boiling.
Right? Okay. All right. I've never done anything like that, so I don't know anything about it.
So, I mean, I guess you could say vegetables. pour.
Oh, okay. I guess boiling vegetables. Okay, so you're just boiling. All right.
And then you, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you boil vegetables. Have you ever thought of what flavors have you come up? Have you ever?
Right.
You can boil vegetables. Have you ever thought of?
I've never put vegetables in beer.
Beering your asparagus right, beer right, or something right. like that.
Well, no, but I mean,
people usually use things that taste good.
Yeah, right. Well, when you make like you know these wheat beers that are super popular, like a Blue Moon or a Shock Top, you know, you'll add not just hops, you'll add coriander, certain kinds of spices. You'll add fruit, obviously, you know, orange peel and that kind of stuff.
I mean, I've heard of apple and orange and, orange and peel? Oh, yeah, orange peel, okay. Orange
peel in it to it, or orange. We use a zest of an orange.
Okay.
In ours. And then, you know, people get, you know, any kind of tea spice you can put in there to get cool flavors, like a jasmine or things like that. But for the most part, the good beers, because I'm an ale drinker, IPA drinker.
What flavor would you say your beer is? Is it flavored or is it just we use different grains?
Well, we have four beers. So like our IPA, Talking Bear IPA, which is my favorite beer.
Wait, what does IPA mean?
Indian Pale Ale. So okay. It's a pale ale. It's a very hoppy beer.
Okay.
They got their name because they had to put more hops and stuff to get it to India, you know, when they took it on the ships back in the day. So, it's more hoppy. It's more, it's stronger. Which is, you know, super popular right now in California, the California craft brew movement type thing. But, I mean, our flavor, you know, if I was going to tell you what flavors, you know, there's it's piney, you know, it's got that piney taste to it that our hops bring out. And it's hoppy, you know, it's a heavy beer.
So hoppy. That reminds me of something I saw at Winco the other day. I'm walking in, I see this big thing, it says scented pine cones. pine cones are already enough. Aren't they pine cone scented? Well, anyway,
yeah. Right.
Sorry. Okay, so you have the Indian Pale Ale. Yeah. What are your others?
We have Emperor Brown. That's a nut brown ale.
Okay.
And
said a nut brown ale.
Yeah.
What?
So it's our darkest in color. It's brown beer.
What nuts?
We don't even use actual nuts.
Oh, okay.
It just comes out of the grain. It's got that chocolatey nutty flavor, and then hops too. That's a really good beer. That's the beer that kind of got everyone excited. Our investors excited about it.
What was the one that you brought up to Sonoma with us?
That was our pale ale.
Okay, that was the Indian pale ale.
That was our just regular pale ale. Pale and then Indian. So it's less intense than an Indian pale ale.
Okay.
Less hot.
Well, I mean, according to the bar owner, everyone seemed to like it.
Yeah, it went well and people enjoyed it.
So you have the Indian Pale Ale, the Pale Ale, that one you just said.
And then we have our wheat beer.
A wheat beer, okay.
Yeah.
What is Budweiser?
Budweiser would be a lager.
Oh, okay, so it's different from what you
so,
get.
Yeah, so we don't have a Pilsner or lager, those lighter beers.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, we will at some point, you know, maybe a seasonal, something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, you know, people that want lagers are going to buy Bud Light. It's cheaper. You can't compete with them price-wise.
Yeah.
And it's not as, you know, us personally, like, we're making beers that we like.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted to make something I didn't like, I'd just stay in my crappy job now, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Cool. Yeah, you know what? No one opens a, no one, ascribes to open a burger place where they make their hamburgers just like McDonald's.
Yeah, like the crap. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, even if you open a burger place, it's going to be.
You know, I spent a lot of good years in college with Bud Light and Bud Light and all those, but I like to think, you know, your palate moves on, grows up a bit.
Cool. You know, okay, well, cool. So are these friends from college that you started the company with?
No, these are friends up in the Bass Lake. I met. Garrett, my buddy, and then a couple other buddies, Nick and Brian, and we're just brewing beer, having fun on Garrett's farm. Garrett has a farm. And
a farm. Oh, this is the guy who went to
Plant Science
pool. What was it? Was he growing the farm? Just does he grow the stuff that you use in the beer, or do you buy the stuff?
No, we've talked about growing the hops for it at some point, but it's a big process.
Yeah. Is that the right climate for growing the stuff that you're putting in the beer?
That's a good question too. Probably not.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Garrett couldn't do it.
Yeah.
The guy's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason that certain things are grown in certain places.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And we're up in the mountains, you know, that's a different kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think what we've talked about is having, because there's two different kinds of hops. There's like the whole cone hops that actually come off the tree, but then a lot are kind of processed into pellets.
Cool.
So if we do some seasonals, we could do some stuff that he grows on the farm. But I don't think we'd ever be able to.
Have
that'd
you
be a whole other business?
Have you thought about doing flavors like? I mean, you said there was a thing that had kind of a nutty, chocolatey taste. So,
yeah.
Can you put like chocolate in the beer and see how that comes out, or like how have you thought of trying to come up with flavored beers? Or
yeah,
anything?
I think right now we've just been spending the last year working on our four recipes for these four unlimited release beers. You know, our four flagship beers, if you will. And then once we're done with that up and running, a little more comfortable, I think we'll start getting even more creative with, you know, trying new flavors. I know that's...
How long do you think until people might start seeing it in stores?
I'd like to be open by next summer.
Hmm, cool.
But definitely, hopefully in the next year, a lot of things have to happen first. But we're getting there. We're close.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm looking at your business card here, and it says 41 Oaks Brewing, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Tory Van Grohl, CEO/owner.
That's
okay,
right.
Now, so you're the CEO.
Right, well, when you file for an LLC, we didn't know this, have to pick a CEO. And so we had that awkward moment where it was like, well, you do it. No, you do it.
Well, you drew the short straw, so now you had to be the CEO.
No, I mean, I'm not upset I'm a CEO. It was just like, well, that got real
fast.
Does it
get you checks?
You know what I mean? It doesn't.
It does. That doesn't get you any pussy?
Well, I mean, they're so drunk with the beer, it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's true. That's true. It's the beer that's getting you laid. It's that your title is irrelevant at that point.
And
the hoodie. Yes. And the hoodie. I'm always, I read a lot of political news, and I'm always reading about how these corporate CEOs are ruining the company.
That's me.
Ruining the country.
Yeah.
And so, basically, our economic downfall is your fault.
It's my fault.
I feel great about it. I can't believe I invited you to come into my home. I'm actually a little upset.
Well, it was crazy because once I filed my name as the CEO, I just started getting bags of money, like those stereotypical ones with the big dollar sign.
Oh, is that great? Is it really? That's really how it works.
That's how it works.
Wow, here's what you need to do if you really want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
What you got to do is hire a whole bunch of people.
Right. Because that's cheap.
Just immediately. Before even their first paycheck goes out.
Right.
You need to go to the government for a bailout.
That's right.
And I said, yeah, you know what? Just
immediately get the bailout.
I've got 12 million employees. And they're all going to lose their jobs if we don't get this money.
Brilliant.
From you. And you go to the government and get a bailout and use that as the seed money to actually start your company.
Yeah. Perfect.
It is perfect. I wish I'd have thought of that. I'm gonna start an LLC now.
It's not cheap.
I thought of that just now. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna do that. And so what? How much did it cost you to do the paperwork to start the LLC?
It's not cheap. You gotta pay a few $100 to get going, and then like they mailed me a thing the other day where it's like, oh, we need a couple more hundred, and then you gotta pay $800.
You got to
pay $800 a year just in LLC tax, and then you got, plus your business tax. So,
did you go through an attorney to do it, or did you do it yourself?
I did it my brother's an attorney.
LegalZoom or something?
My brother's a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
So he helped. But yeah, it's very easy to do, actually. Once he kind of showed me where and how, you could definitely do it yourself. It's just it's a one-page application.
Okay.
You send off your check.
Well, I remember watching that episode of The Colbert Report when he started his super PAC. Did you ever see that?
No.
And it's like this attorney comes in and says, okay, fill this out. All right, now you have a PAC. Well, how do I turn it into a super PAC? Okay, well, write the word super here. Like, really?
That's how it felt, man. I was like, I sent it in, and then I done something wrong, and they sent it back. And then I wrote corporation instead of company. So they sent it back.
Yeah, well, I guess technically for it to be a company, it has to have stock that you sold. For it to be a corporation, I mean.
I have no idea. I know that corporation costs more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why we're an LLC. see. I know it's going to help us down the line. Right now, it just seems like overkill.
Well, I guess if LLC wrong. Stands for limited liability company, so I guess like if people drink your beer and die, then when they sue you, all they can do is take away your recipes.
Not really. If so someone dies, you can still get manslaughter. That's how that works. But I think it's more financial liability and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Well, so you can still go to jail, but they'll only be able to take the company.
It's harder to go to jail. Right. There's more red tape, I'm sure. But when it comes to people's lives, I think.
Lives. On that note of eating at people's lives, we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Torio Van Grohl. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Torio Van Grohl. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so I've got a couple of news stories I want to talk about here. One was, so we're talking about people dying in manslaughter. Since we're on the subject, we've got this this story right here. Let me just, I hate these touchpad things on the laptops. I should just get a freaking mouse and I should plug it into it. Okay, here we go. Italian court finds seismologist guilty of manslaughter. Six scientists and one official face 6 years in prison over L'Aquila earthquake. Some Italian word. At the end of a 13-month trial, six scientists and one government official have been found guilty of manslaughter and sentenced to 6 years in prison. The verdict was based on how they assessed and communicated risk before the earthquake that hit the city of L'Aquila on April 6th, killing 309 people.
So they didn't report it?
I guess they didn't report this properly, but basically they didn't predict this earthquake. So the seismologist and government official didn't predict this earthquake, so now they're going to they were convicted of manslaughter.
They're charged or convicted?
Convicted. The trial's over. They were convicted and sentenced to 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, you know...
Good.
They were permanently banned from public service and will have to pay financial compensation to the families of 29 victims named in the indictment, totaling 7.8 million euros. Wow, you know, I don't.
So why not sue construction people who built their house that fell on them? And
I'm vaguely familiar with how seismology works. I'm not really familiar with it, but you don't really get a warning of when an earthquake is going to happen.
Right.
It's like there'll be some soft tremors at first, and then it just goes.
Well, there's always soft tremors, though. If you've ever been on one of those websites, it's like there's an earthquake every day.
Yeah, there are earthquakes going on constantly at all times somewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. They're usually really pretty weak. Right.
They had to have messed something up. Like, I can't imagine the Italian justice system is so crazy.
Well, according
there had to be some kind of negligence.
Well, the
that is crazy though.
Well, here's the statement. This statement had been put out before the earthquake from the deputy director of the Civil Protection Department. The scientific community tells me there is no danger because there is an ongoing discharge of energy. Okay, now and that's basically what it says. There's always this release of kinetic energy going on, so there's no special need for concern now.
Maybe it's...
And then, but because of that statement, a prosecutor says such reassurances were the reason why 23 people who would otherwise have left Aquila the following days changed their minds and decided to stay. So they're saying that this statement made by the...
So there had been, like, activity.
There'd been activity.
They were going to leave to get out of
it. And they were going to leave, and apparently they decided, no, we'll stay because the scientists are telling us that, no, it's going to be all right. And, of course, then it wasn't all right. But see, the scientists making this scientifically accurate statement...
You should know that it's a gray area all of it. I mean, it's...
You know, the government officials should still be... should still be making their statement based on being more cautious.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, the hurricane that just hit the East Coast, it might have...
Sandy!
It's possible that it would have turned and not hit the East Coast. Like, you know, many years ago when I was in the Navy in Virginia, our ship went out to sea when a hurricane was coming. And the hurricane ended up turning and coming right at us instead of hitting the shore.
Right.
So, you know, we would have, we still, it, they could have told it one, you know.
Obviously, yeah, well, you could have won.
We should have sued someone. No, you know, our ship can handle going through a hurricane. Sure. It's not as it's
America.
As it, well. But, you know, the hurricane didn't hit the shore, but people still left. Because it might, you know, this thing might be coming. It might turn, but it might be coming.
Right.
You know, so just as out of precaution, you do. And these people decided, well, you know, I'm not going to take the precaution that I'm just going to stay because they're telling me.
I think it's weird that they. That's just weird because I've never heard of being able to predict earthquakes, but the fact that these people knew we're gonna leave.
Yeah.
Because of something.
Well, see, that ends up with a problem is when people who don't really know anything about science are able to make decisions based on science. I mean, there's a reason that the Congress has never done it. You know, that's why Congress has never done anything about global warming is because all these people who don't really know anything about science, but all they're really interested in is their politics. Mm-hmm. So they'll use that instead of listening to what the science is actually saying. But, okay, next we got this I thought.
I can't wait till someone asks them what they're in for.
What are you in for?
Earthquakes.
Well, you know, it's on all in how you put it.
Earthquake in Akiva?
Akila. Yeah, that was me. I caused the earthquake. Well, you know, it's all in how you put it.
You just
it's
say
like,
I killed
well,
27 people.
Yeah, you could if you say. Yeah, exactly. What you say? Well, I killed 29 people.
Manslaughter, fuck off.
Manslaughter,
bro.
29 counts. Oh, whoa! Leave this guy alone.
Why are
of course, if you
years?
Say, "Why well, I didn't report to the government that an earthquake was coming." Okay, well, let's fuck this
but
guy.
But he would say it all in Italian, so it wouldn't make sense anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he'd be talking to someone who also speaks Italian, though, so that he might understand.
Allegedly.
All right. Next story, and this was awesome. Sandeep Singh has been working two jobs to help support his family and was recently dumped by his girlfriend. But the 22-year-old Massachusetts man, nicknamed Sonny, can console himself with the $30.5 million winning lottery ticket.
Yes.
That's right. Just a couple days after being dumped by his girlfriend, he won the lottery.
Good.
My mom needs help, and my family could use it, so God definitely helped us out at the right time, Singh said at a press conference.
It's better that she dumped him now, because now he doesn't have to dump her for someone hotter.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, you know, that's...
So now he gets... Exactly. Not only does he get the money, but he doesn't get the guilt.
Yeah. Well, when asked if he had any children, a spouse, or a girlfriend, Singh noted that his girlfriend had just left him. Wow.
She'll be happier.
I was heartbroken at first, but now I'm getting over it. You think?
$30 million will help.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is my advice for all of you out there who you have a girlfriend and you're thinking about whether or not you want to spend the rest of your life with her. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. If you won the lottery, would you keep her? If your answer is yes, go buy the ring. If your answer is no, you're not sure yet. It doesn't mean dump her now, because you know you might come to the point where you would say yes. So you know this is just a whether. Okay, if you're thinking about asking her to marry you, then ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
And so, totally. If you won the lottery, would you keep her? And if the answer is yes, go buy the ring. Well,
you don't need to go buy the ring.
Go put
key and tin. Okay,
well, go put the ring on layaway. If you won the lottery, buy the ring. If you haven't won the lottery, then put the ring on layaway. But that's awesome. He decided to take the lump sum, which is going to be about $16.1 million after taxes. You know, if you won $30 million in the lottery and they said okay, you can have $30 million over 20 years, or you can have $16 million now.
I would take the $16.
Well, it's $16 million after taxes.
Yeah. I would take the 16.
Yeah, I would do that. I'd take the whole
bundle. I'd bet it all on red.
Bet it all on red.
Get that 30 back.
I'd bet it on the double zero. Let's go crazy.
I don't think they'll take that
bet. I would not. I would actually, if I won $16 million in the lottery, I would never place another bet again as long as I live, because I don't need to win anything.
Right.
You know, my life would, or my job would become maintaining my
money.
My wealth.
Don't
right?
lose this.
It's just all I would.
Right.
That's
you don't
want
to be like that athlete.
Yeah.
Broke.
Yeah.
Years
yeah.
later.
He you know, because actually that happens a lot. It's like
it
some athlete get the many million dollar contract, and then they just go off and blow it, and then they hurt their leg, and they can't play anymore. You know, I was reading that the NFL makes all rookie players go to this conference, where and they start off the conference by saying, okay, who here has had someone come to you with suggestions about how to invest their money? And everyone raised their hand. I said, okay, do you know whether or not that person has a criminal record? And now you have their attention. So the NFL apparently, it's like they saw the problem and they it still exists, but
they're trying to
do something. So that's, I thought that was pretty cool. Well, you know what, Sandeep Singh, congratulations.
Good for him.
The bitch wasn't good enough for you anyways.
Should call her.
Exactly. Yeah, I just won the lottery. Yeah. Yeah, I did. No, I was not thinking about getting back together.
I bet they get together. Back
together. No,
for sure they get back together.
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope they do not. You know,
because they might have gotten back together anyway.
That's true, but you know what? The question of is it for the money is always going to be there, and the answer is always
going to
be
yes. But
he's
going to have that question with anyone he meets.
Well,
now.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Why
but,
not
well,
be
you
with
know
the
what?
Girl?
Now,
at least she was with him before.
Okay, you know what? Prenup. Prenup everything.
Well, just don't get married.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not enough anymore. Because there's all kinds of women suing for...
Whatever.
Well, we were cohabitating, and so that's like being married. So, you know, there's palimony suits, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you move in with a girl, get a pre-move-in chul. I don't know what you would call it.
Pre-move-in chul.
It's not prenuptials, it's pre-move-in chul.
Right, right, right. They didn't have nuptials.
All right, and our final news story... there's a recall on Banana Boat sunscreen. It seems
about
that you
time.
Might, it seems you might burst into flames.
What?
You might burst into flames.
Wouldn't you burst into flames if you don't put
that's,
it on?
That's quite the sunburn. apparently, the
spontaneously combust?
No, actually, some of the ingredients are apparently flammable, and it's like people smoking or something.
Right.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Energizer Holdings is a consumer goods conglomerate that produces Banana Boat projects. I wonder if that's related to Energizer batteries.
Yeah, probably.
And you put the sunscreen on, it catches fire, and just the fire keeps going and going and going.
There's that wordplay I miss so much, JT.
Yay! Hooray for puns. You know what? I like puns. I do. Everyone hates them. I like them.
I know.
There's this other podcast I listen to called The Bugle.
Mm-hmm.
It has John Oliver and I can't remember the other dude's name, but the other dude that's on there, he is a big fan of puns, and he did a fish pun run with 53 puns in it.
Nice.
Now I have something to shoot for.
Yeah. Right. I've heard you go on some pun runs, and I'm surprised you haven't gotten to 53 yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
Yeah,
but I'm working on it.
The worst car ride of my life with you and Danny doing those puns.
You know what? People like puns because
you guys
they like
puns.
No.
You two like puns.
People like puns because they like groaning at them.
They like hating them.
Yes, people like to hate puns.
But it's like,
that's right.
All right.
People like
sure.
hate puns.
They're
on that
cool,
note,
yeah.
I guess that's it for the show. Hey, thanks a lot for coming.
Hey, thanks so much.
Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything coming up you want to talk
about? Just that show, November 23rd, Bass Lake. Come on up. It's a free show.
Well, I'm looking at your card here. You got a website for your brewery.
41oaks.com.
Can people order your beer?
Sure can't. But if you come up to Bass Lake or if you come up to Oakhurst, I will give you some. We can't legally sell it yet, so...
Okay, well, 41oaks
can't order yet.
41oaks@gmail.com.
Email that.
Send them an email. And they're not allowed to sell it, but if you go up, or if you, you know, you can find out where to meet him, email him.
We can figure out a way to sell it.
No, he wouldn't do it. He would figure a way to give it to you.
We'll give it to you.
Maybe you would exchange gifts. You know, they'll.
I don't even think that's allowed. I don't think they're allowed to leave my where we brew it.
Really?
But just don't tell anybody.
That's weird.
I think there's rules. Yeah.
You can't leave where you brew it? I mean,
I don't think so.
So it's like you have to brew it and then drink it right there where you're standing. That's insane.
Well, I mean, like obviously no one's gonna like you know.
Okay, you know what though? There's a specific amount that you're legally allowed to.
Yeah, it's 100 gallons a year, which we're way under.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we would never break a law.
Well, it's 100 gallons a year, and there's four of you.
That's true.
So that's 400 gallons a year, and you know you could sign up other people as.
Plus, we brew it at my house in his house.
So silent 0.001% owner partners in the business, and then for each one of those you add, you get
0.001% of my company.
Well, it's not enough for a profit sharing, but it does allow you to brew an extra 100 gallons.
That's right. Yeah.
So you just sign up like 1,000 of them, and then you're still only giving up 0.1%.
Yeah.
For another 100,000 gallons.
But then I got all these people showing up to investor meetings.
That's true.
Way more snacks I have to buy.
Well, they'll come to the comedy shows. And
on November 23rd.
November 23rd.
Bass Lake Pines Resort.
Bass Lake Pines Resort. Show starts at 7 o'clock.
And it's free.
Free comedy show.
It's the best kind of comedy show.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to see you again. I am JT Foreman here with Torrio Van Grohl. We're the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you again next week. Peace. Okay, I know we just ended the podcast, but he finally said something funny, so we have to record this.
Well, I keep watching this Hurricane Sandy footage, and every time I do, I think of John Travolta in Greece, just like, oh, Sandy.
That's awesome.
How could you do this to me? Something like that. And...